Friday at 6:30, man. We've gotten through the week. Yeah. And at this point, we have no idea how long we're going to be doing shows at our house. But all things considered, I think it's worked out pretty well.
I think so far. I might be the only one in studio next week, gentlemen. I might make the plunge.
You might have to, huh? Because yours, it's not holding up. I thought we were trying to get to the bottom of that. Hopefully we will at some point. But
well, it's a couple cans of soup and a string is the next option.
Yeah.
You'll be fine. You know what? It's frustrating, but I'm sure that maybe that Steve guy will show up at your house again.
He already did again today. He dropped me off something today, so that didn't work either.
How are you doing the quiz? I didn't actually open up the link, but you're doing the quiz with Duffy, right? Are you doing Skype, or what was that all about?
Yeah, the quiz is on Skype.
Okay, well, why? Do you take that personally that I ask you? Like, what's with the sharp tone?
No, that's how the quiz happens. It's like a four-man Skype, and you get it done.
Okay.
Well, I'll be honest. I didn't even know of this until 2 days ago, that Zoom app. I did a Zoom with four buddies last night. We talked for like an hour. Like we're next Saturday we're gonna have beers and just
the only stock that's going up is Zoom. Everyone I see, it's like a 15-person chat in Zoom.
Yeah, I know.
But yeah, everyone's got the home office. I gotta say, I think Dreger might have the best setup going though. Home office is top notch.
No trophies, though. He wasn't an athlete. That's the only thing missing.
Here's our hockey insider, Darren Dreger. Go ahead. Defend yourself, Dregs.
Well, I mean, again, you know, it's the old Jeremy Roenick thing. He once said that if you didn't play in the National Hockey League, then your opinion doesn't matter. So, yeah, I mean, it's like you, Brian. I mean, were we athletes? I mean, we played hockey at a reasonably high level, played lots of sports. But because we didn't cash checks in the NHL, I guess we're not athletes. But
yeah.
I will defend. I'm looking in my office right now, and I've got in order. I've got this new. It's not so. Every day TSN develops a new technology here. So it was a DeGero thing that you know, included a big camera and a light ring and all of those things. So that's on the sideline. Now I've got a smaller DeGero, but DeGero isn't the way we're going anymore, unless it's me and Gino, as we were today talking about the Arizona situation. If we're doing a four-way insider trading, it's got to be via Skype. So that's something else. And then I look over TSN 1050. It sent me a microphone and a mic stand and some little Shure gadget that is warning about cancer issues. and then I've got a Rode mic and mic holder and all of the doodads for the Ray and Dregs Hockey Podcast. So, I mean, electronically, if you need it done, then my home studio is the place to come to get that done.
Beautiful. Well, we always talk about this after the trade deadline. Once you get to the trade deadline, GMs, you know, there's not much they can do anymore. They're just kind of waiting until they get back to the summer. What about right now, though? Are GMs allowed to call each other and put forth a framework for a trade? Could you do that right now?
They can. For sure they can. I don't think there's a whole lot of that going on. Every day we're seeing that teams are agreeing to terms of college free agents. And, you know, as we've talked about, you know, there's some Russian guys and European unrestricted free agents that are going to get signed in the weeks ahead here. Beyond that, I think the whole uncertainty of the world has general managers, no different than the rest of us, a little bit consumed. And so it's hard to look at free agency, you know, as it pertains to the NHL and go, okay, well, maybe I should move this piece because I'm really eyeballing that guy as a free agent. Or, you know, if there were a normal draft, you know, that's ordinarily an environment where, you know, managers will talk and they'll get stuff done because there's flexibility within the cap system during the off season. None of that matters right now. That would be perfect for most general managers. They would welcome that. I think right now all they're fixated on is their amateur scouting department watching as much video of the kids as they can and just trying to get a handle on day-to-day stuff that's trickling in from the NHL, and then being prepared for whatever the draft is going to look like when the draft comes around. But beyond that, there's not a whole lot of horse trading happening.
Dregs, we were talking about in the last hour, you know, about potential creativity with the schedule when the when it does come back. And I don't know if you remember Jonathan Toews earlier in the season talking about, you know, maybe these weekend series types of scenarios. You know what I mean? Like where you, you go in and play like three or four games in Winnipeg and then you're done with them for the season. Have you talked to anybody in the league as far as, you know, creativity, any type of stuff that are they looking at everything or is this is everything on the table just because it's so much uncertainty?
Yeah, exactly. Everything is on the table. And the only thing that I'm skeptical of, and look, I guess I'd be open to it because, you know, anything that's wild, creative, that is going to re-spark, you know, the interest and the excitement of the National Hockey League when the NHL returns, I guess I'd be open for. But I'm still dismissive of the idea of some sort of tournament, even though part of me thinks, nah, that'd be fun. I'd like to see it in a one-off type of environment. But no, beyond that, I think virtually everything is in play. But the one thing that seems to be carrying traction, and not just among media people, but, you know, from the head office of the National Hockey League through the Players Association and club by club, is the idea of a willingness to play late in the summer. You know, if you can get going in late June, early July, you can play some format of a regular season, even though it's going to be brief if they do it. You know, two, three, five games, whatever that is, kick into the playoffs. You get the Stanley Cup handed out in September, and then you do all your business. You know, you've got the draft, you've got the awards, you've got free agency. All that business gets done while the players are resetting, and you get going again with an NHL regular season the 1st of November. That one, for me, remains a constant. Everybody continues to talk about that, not media-related. I'm talking about internally. So we'll see. But all of that other stuff, Noodles, for sure that's in play. Almost every day, a general manager or a club executive is filtering in a proposal to the NHL, and none of it at this stage can be dismissed.
I remember last year we had this conversation a lot. I believe leading up to the draft, I don't think, maybe even after the draft, the salary cap had been established. And it was right. It was like every team was like, I don't know what we're supposed to do here because we don't know exactly what the dollar amount is going to be. I would anticipate that it will be even more amplified this year because they don't know how many games they're going to play. They don't know what's going to happen with the economy. The Canadian dollar has sunk. I mean, that's got to be leading to a lot of anxiety for GMs in terms of what they feel they can even do in terms of making deals in this upcoming offseason.
Yeah, that's fair, but also for the players, right? Because, you know, if you look at the language of the collective bargaining agreement, not that we're going to, you know, spend any time worrying about that, but it's pretty clear that the burden of making the system whole from a cap perspective is on the back of the player. Well, the or the escrow can't be 35%. It can't be. You know, the players just can't manage that. So there has to be an agreement, and I believe in good faith there will be, between the NHL, the clubs, and the Players Association to manage something that works long term. Now, the NFL just agreed to, what, a 10-year collective bargaining agreement?
Yep.
So I wonder about that, guys. I really do. And why I wonder about it is, you know, if you can find some level of you know, just agreement between the players and the NHL, where the owners are going to have to bite a little bit harder here on their own end so that the escrow isn't off the charts. You know, historically, we've talked about, you know, extensions with the CBA being 3-4 years. What if the NHL went to the Players Association and said, we're going to guarantee you escrow can't be more than X percent, you know, 14%. But the give back from you is going to be this, this, and, oh, by the way, you need to take an 8 or a 10-year CBA extension. I wonder if the players would consider that. And I'm not suggesting that they should or that it's even on the table. I'm just looking around the world of sport and I'm seeing what's happening elsewhere. But In terms of immediacy, look, they're going to settle on whatever the salary cap needs to be next year, not because of hockey-related revenue, because that's in the basement right now. The two sides are going to come together, and they're going to say, here's an affordable number, here's a number that isn't going to buckle anybody, and then they're going to have to work out what escrow is. But the flip side to all of that is there's going to be a whole lot of back-and-forth bargaining, because just to have a look at the bazillions of dollars that are going to get paid out on July 1st in signing bonus money, right? And that absolutely influences escrow. So there is a whole lot of financial gymnastics that is going to go on in the weeks ahead.
Yeah, no kidding. I forgot about the July 1 bonus. Think of, like, you could be playing. It could be, you know, game four of the second round and someone's like, forget the game. I just cashed, you know, $12 million American. Into the bag.
Well, the Leafs will pay out $59 million July 1st.
Wow.
Yeah, and they didn't care. That's nothing to them. They don't care about that.
They didn't even get a discount on any of the deals. like, how does that add up? The players are like, yeah, we'll just take that all in cash on July 1, but we're not going to give you a penny in terms of cap savings.
Yeah, season ticket holders, by the way, are getting their renewal forms already.
Oh, I heard about
and
that.
Their updates.
That's right.
So did I.
Yeah, hey, in March, you know, just so we'd like to make sure you pay your bills. I think they sent out a playoff one. No one even knows what if they were going to make the playoffs, let alone even play in the playoffs.
Well, they have to try and have some semblance of normalcy, but that's a tough letter to send out. Like, that is, given the landscape. But, you know, people will pay it. They have to.
Well, no choice. Yeah. But they do, but... You know, I've got several, and it's not specific to Toronto. I mean, you go around the hot markets of the National Hockey League, and I've got a number of buddies or acquaintances or contacts who are season ticket holders, and I'm not going to go team by team, but I will say this specific Toronto, as far as I know, there's been no suggestion of a rebate or a refund or any of that, but there is, oh, by the way, as of April 1st, make sure to have $18,000 available because your season ticket renewal will be up at that point.
Yeah. Oh, it's not their first rodeo, and they know.
That's a tough one.
Yep, it
that
is.
That is tough.
Anyway, Dregs, go ahead, Noodles. You want to fire something off here or what?
Well, you just got to deal with that picture on Instagram. Like, just tell us what the hell was going on with your hair. Like, you basically strapped a dead cat to your head.
Well, there are two parts of it, and I didn't get into the gory details on the Instagram. So, I mean, it's all my fault. Who's kidding who? But it's circa 1980, so I'm like 11, 12 years old, whatever I am at that age. But my older sister was in, like, cosmetology or whatever it is where you go to become a hairdresser. So even though my hair is curly now, it wasn't at that point, but I was a guinea pig. So that due is compliments of my sister, who was, I was her test rabbit. So that was her first perm in like 1980.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's tough, man. The 11-year-old
beating them
perm
off with a stick, Darren.
How about how about the velour shirt? I mean, come on. That's got to make a comeback, does it not?
You just look like the biggest loser. There's no other way.
Well, we'll leave it on that high note, Dregs. Any more picks you've got, you send them out, buddy, and have a great weekend. We'll do it again next week.
You bet. We all need comedic relief.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to supply here. That's how we roll. Good stuff, buddy. There he is, Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider, joining us here on Overdrive, courtesy of our friends at Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction, the health and safety of the community and their employees is the number one priority. With extra safety measures in place, Scarborough Nissan will remain open for business on Eglinton Avenue East at Warden. This is almost a game. I don't know when O's there.
I know. All of a sudden, he just appeared again. I was like, I thought this guy...
He's a creep. It's a radio creep show.
Well, I was going to just act like you didn't know I was there, and I was just going to start breathing like this.
Just a creepy guy in the corner staring at people.